And so, Lord, this morning, we thank you for the promise of your Son, Lord. Lord, even in those days, 2,000 years ago, Lord, when there was 400 years of silence between Malachi and Matthew, Lord, there is waiting and anticipating for a Messiah, a longing for a Messiah, a deliverer to show up, Lord. You were never not faithful to your people, Lord. You were always going to do exactly what you said you were going to do, Lord. And so, Lord, for every person here, Lord God, for every person watching online, Lord, I just declare, Lord, that your faithfulness and your promises would be yes and amen to every person in this room today, Lord. And Lord, in the midst of the waiting, in the midst of the longing and the desire for you to move and for breakthrough, Lord, I ask you that we would not grow weary in well-doing, Lord. We would not stumble, Lord. We would not fall. We would not take our eyes off of you, Jesus, but we would continue on the path that you've laid before us, Lord, confident knowing that you're going to do exactly what you promised you would do, Lord. So, Lord, we thank you for the promise of your Son, Lord God. We thank you for Jesus and sending him, Lord Jesus, Lord God. And, Lord, we love you because of that, Lord God. We thank you for the transformation that it's made, Lord, in all our lives, Lord. And in everybody said, amen. Amen. And so, we had this trouble having a baby, and I and the whole time I was a pastor and praying with people that they would do exactly what I'm believing the Lord to do in my life, and the hardest thing for me to do was to celebrate others who were getting exactly what I was praying for. And so on the outside, I was happy. I would obviously like celebrate people, but part of me would kind of wince and just like, Lord, what about me? You know? And I want to read the portion of scripture that we're basing this sermon series off. It's in Luke chapter 1, but I'm going to read the whole part of Mary's song. It's in Luke chapter 1, starting at verse 48. It says, "And Mary said, 'My soul glorifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God my Savior, for he has been mindful of the humble state of his servant.'" How many of you know that the Lord needs to be or is mindful of his humble servants? "From now on, all generations will call me blessed. For the Mighty One has done great things for me. Holy is his name. His mercy extends on those who fear him from generation to generation. He has performed mighty deeds with his arm. He has scattered those who are proud in their inmost thoughts. He has brought down rulers from their thrones, and he has lifted up the humble. He has filled the hungry with good things, but he has sent the rich away empty. He has helped his servant Israel, remembering to be merciful to Abraham and his descendants forever, just as he promised our ancestors." And so the Lord's going to be faithful. And so I looked up the word rejoice, and that prefix re just means again or indicates repetition. And if I'm to rejoice in the Lord, that implies that I need to be doing it over and over and over. It's not just a one-time thing. You know, like I tell people all the time, we don't just worship on Sunday mornings. Worship isn't something we do, but it's who we are. I'm not just a Christian. I am a worshiper. I worship the Lord on Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday. Well, I'll put that in a different way. I'm going to worship something on Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday. And I have to choose whether or not I'm going to put the Lord first and worship him. There's some people that worship football games and football teams. They worship their stuff, their vehicles, whatever it is. They elevate something else in the place where the Lord would have hit their attention and their affection. And so we are called to rejoice, we're called to praise, we're called to lift up the Lord. And so as we begin to worship the Lord and everything, like, I missed my place. There it is. Okay, sorry. So if we rejoice, that means there's a state where we could be lacking joy, because if we wouldn't have to re-up on joy if we were just always had it, you know. And there's a need for us to continually be filled and continually stay in a constant state of joy. And that joy only comes from the Lord. We're not going to get joy from, we might gain happiness, or which is fleeting and temporary, but true joy only comes from the Lord. I have a friend of mine who, I don't know, it's not flow of the joy of the Lord. Like, anytime I get around him, he just laughs uncontrollably. We could laugh about the craziest thing, but he's always just got this giggle in him almost. He's just like, and I'm like, dude, I wish I had that all the time, you know? It'd be a lot easier. But a lot of times and I want to read this. Psalm 16, verse 11 says, "In your presence is fullness of joy, and at your right hand are pleasures forevermore." And so there, his presence is where we have the fullness of joy. Mm-hmm. And when we're lacking joy, it's because we haven't been connected to his presence. And I think we kind of live as believers in two extremes a lot of time. We're either all the way in his presence, full of joy, or lacking joy. And I'm like, man, I need you feel empty or full. And we kind of live in that tension of in between, because there's a lot of times when I'm at work, I don't really feel the joy of the Lord, you know, or I've got a bill coming up. I don't really feel the joy of the Lord in this moment. You know, Lord, I need some new tires on my car. I don't really feel the joy of the Lord on that. And so we kind of live in this tension of where we are called to be carriers of joy, vessels full of joy, overflowing, you know, in his presence, full of joy. But we live in a world that really just tries to steal our joy from us. And we've got to learn how to constantly fill ourselves up, constantly walk in joy, and receive the joy of the Lord from the source. And not try and manufacture it on our own or try and replace it. Because a lot of people, like, I have a crazy past. I have a testimony like a lot of people do. And in high school, I fooled around with drugs and alcohol and stuff like that. And that may give you a temporary high, and we may experience temporary moments of joy or euphoria or whatever. But none of those things can replace the joy of the Lord. None of those can replicate what the joy of the Lord can do in our hearts and in our lives. Because it once you do it and it's gone, you feel worse than when you started. You know, there's this phrase, coming down from the high or whatever. And some people, depending on what they do, it takes them days to come down. It takes them like a week to whatever. But like with the joy of the Lord, there is no coming down. There, it's never ending. There's no like, oh, I gotta, you know, it's never gonna wear off. It's something that you can't replicate on your own, but it's something that you can just fully receive. Amen. And so when we find ourselves in the tension between those two things, we've got to remind ourselves that it's okay to be in that place sometimes. Because the enemy would love to sneak in and just say, hey, I know you're struggling right now, but if you just had a little bit more faith, you wouldn't be in this decision or this situation. Or if you hadn't if you'd have just gave a little bit more at church, you wouldn't be in this, you know. And sometimes I have to check with my wife. I'm like, babe, do we tithe this week? Because, like, it looks like the devourer ate rebuke this week. You know what I'm saying? So I just got to check. But sometimes, you know, we get in those situations, but the enemy likes to, like, whisper in our ear, you know. And I came to tell you today, it's okay to have a bad day, but it's not okay for a bad day to have you. And that's the difference, is when as believers, we're going to have bad days. Yeah. Jesus said, trust me. Yeah. If they persecuted me, they're going to persecute you. Mm-hmm. But take heart, because I've overcome the world. But we're going to have those bad days. But the Lord loves us too much to leave us where we're at in that state. And when we call on him, when we reach out to him, when we enter into his presence, he responds. He responds to that. In our broken, in our needy, in our sometimes messy state, the Lord responds to that. And I know I read Psalms a lot in my messages, but there's something very personal about like a lot of these psalms that are written, because they're the honest cry of someone's heart. And I just want to read, I'm going to read parts of Psalm 42 this morning, because I believe it's kind of a roadmap for how we stay full of joy. And even though it doesn't even mention joy in this passage, really, it's such a such an example of how us as believers end up responding to the Lord and interacting, or as we, how we should, in a way. And so I'm going to read some of this, or some of Psalm 42, and then I'll go through this. But what I want to address today is just how we stay full of joy. How do we do it? And so Psalm 42, verse 1, starting in verse 1, says this. It says, as the deer pants for the water brook, so my soul for you, O God. My soul thirsts for God, the living God. When shall I come and appear before God? My tears have been my food day and night, while they continually say to me, where is your God? When I remember these things, I pour out my soul within me. For I used to go with the multitude, and I went with them to the house of God with the voice of joy and praise, with a multitude that kept a pilgrim feast. Why are you downcast, O my soul? And why are you so disquieted within me? Hope in God, for I will yet praise him for the help of his countenance. And you see from verse 1, and we love to quote just verse 1 when we want to be super spiritual. As the deer pants for the water, so my soul longs for you, O God. Oh, yes, Lord. I've done it at prayer meetings. I've stood up and they're like, Lord, I'm hungry for you. My soul pants for you. But when you get into verse 2, it says, my tears have been my food day and night, while they continually say to me, where is your God? Wait, I thought you were hungry for the Lord. I thought you wanted God. And that's where the enemy comes to sneak in. Like if you didn't feel empty right now, if you really loved the Lord, if you were really hungry for him, you wouldn't be struggling with this. You wouldn't be struggling with that, or you wouldn't be lacking faith right now. You would be full of joy already. And the enemy likes to take advantage of our brokenness a lot of times, a lot of our humanity, and try and whisper lies and things into it. And so the first thing we've got to do to stay full of joy is be honest with God and ourselves. Number one, be honest with God. I love the honesty and the authenticity of these Psalms and a lot of them, because he speaks his heart. He speaks his mind. He says, Lord, I'm hungry for you, but I'm also, my tears have been flowing recently. And he's got this authenticity, and we've got to be able to be honest enough with the Lord to share how we really feel before him. Yeah. And approach him with authenticity, because the Lord's never going to bless a counterfeit version of who he created us to be. Like, I make a terrible, I make a terrible Deion Sanders. If I try to be Deion Sanders, ain't happening. You know, I'm not that fast. I'm not any of those things. I don't live in Dallas. Like, if I try to act like somebody else, the Lord's not going to bless that. And the Lord will only anoint and only bless the authentic version of ourselves. And that starts with us being honest with the Lord. And so in order for us to stay in joy and in order for us to keep our joy and to be filled with joy, we've got to be authentic before the Lord. The Lord's not impressed with our titles at work. He's not impressed with who we think we are or who we think we should be or who we want to be. He's not impressed with what kind of car we drive or any of that. He's only impressed with who he created us to be. When he created us, he said that it was good. We were fearfully and wonderfully made. He knew us in our mother's womb. That's the version of us that the Lord wants to see, that he wants to know, that he wants to commune with. Mm-hmm. When we approach God and we act like we have it all together, and Lord, if you would just bless everyone but me, I'm doing great. The Lord's not gonna respond to that. He's gonna respond to authenticity. Yeah. Say, Lord, I'm hanging in there right now. Yeah. I heard one person say, I'm hanging in there like a hair in a biscuit. Like, I'm barely hanging on sometimes, Lord, but that's my honest state of where I am. Lord, I desire you. I crave you. I want to serve you and be faithful to you, but this is where I'm at right now. We've got to be honest with the Lord, and then, two, we've got to be honest with ourselves. Because we tend to carry a lot of regrets and resentments that we shouldn't be carrying. You know, some of us are frustrated with the Lord because we didn't get that promotion we wanted. We were talking about that before the service. Like, and if we had gotten that promotion that we wanted, little do we know, like, a lot of those people got laid off 2 years later. You know, or the fact that if we wanted that promotion, but the Lord knew we weren't ready for it, and the Lord protected us from getting that promotion and it actually destroying us or ruining our life because we weren't ready to carry that level of promotion yet. And so we've got to be honest with ourselves and say, Lord, be honest enough with ourselves to realize that, like, I shouldn't be carrying this resentment. I shouldn't be carrying this hurt. I shouldn't be carrying this brokenness anymore because I can't afford to carry it anymore. And we've got to be able to humble ourselves and just acknowledge the fact that maybe that wasn't the best move for me. Maybe I shouldn't have been the supervisor. Because we've got to be honest with ourselves. The Bible, all throughout the Bible, there's examples of how we shouldn't think more highly of ourselves than we should. Amen. We've got to be honest with ourselves because that's where, when we do humble ourselves, like in like Mary's song, it says, where verse 40 in Luke 1, for he has been mindful of the humble state of his servant. You want the Lord to be mindful of you? Be in a humble state before the Lord. Amen. The Lord rejects the proud, but what? Gives grace to the humble. Yes. He gives grace to the humble. The third thing of how to be filled with joy is to walk in the Spirit. Galatians 5:16 says, so walk by the Spirit and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. Amen. There's a war that's going on between the Spirit and the flesh in all of us. And it goes on to list the works of the flesh, and we all know them, we've all read them, we all are familiar how the enemy likes to tempt us in our own way. It could be anger, it could be whatever it is. But all those things that are the work of the flesh, it's really an absence of the Spirit of God in our lives. Because when we're full, we're walking in joy, we're walking in righteousness, we're walking in peace. And I find in my life, the times that I'm short with my wife or with those around me, the times that I'm the most frustrated and the most vulnerable in those areas, it's the times when I haven't been spending the time in the presence of the Lord that I should. When I'm empty, I'm left to my own devices. I'm left to my own empty, behaviors in a way. But when I spend that time in the presence of the Lord, when I get filled up, when I'm walking in the Spirit, when I've got the Word of God living and breathing and alive on the inside of me, the Word comes alive and it sustains me. It's the bread of life. When you're consuming the Word every day, you're fueling your spirit to walk daily in His presence. Galatians 5:22 and 23 says, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, forbearance, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such things there is no law. Where we get the joy of the Lord is by walking in the Spirit. And I find during this holiday, the Lord tested me on the way here. I was driving down the road. I forget what road it was, but I was driving down the road and I'm going 45, 50, whatever the speed limit is. And there's a man coming out from a stop sign right here. And he didn't even really stop at the stop sign. He just kind of rolled halfway through it. And I almost ran into him. And I slammed on brakes and I was like, what are you doing? And I was like, what are you doing? I gotta go preach. What are you doing? And I got mad for a second. I was like, what is this guy? It was just like, I mean, he didn't look at all. Like it was, he didn't have tinted windows or anything. Like I could see, we made eye contact. I was like, what? And I, for a moment, I was like, man, I got mad because, if he'd have hit me, I would have still showed up, but, I'd have been mad that I was late to preach. I got fired up for a second, but I was like, man, the Lord, really tested me with that. I was like, I got my flesh for a second, but then I was like, okay, Lord, let me refocus here. I really want to know, how Jesus would have responded in, a car accident scenario, when, especially if he was, on his way to preach somewhere. But yeah, so I was even tested in that. And for a moment, I just got in my flesh. And I was like, man, what is this guy doing? And so through this Christmas season, as we're learning to walk in, or we've got to stay filled during this time because our family's going to try us. We got extra time with vacation time and stuff like that. So we had extra time to do more things, or maybe that time's already taken up or whatever, but we've got more time to spend with the Lord, to stay tuned into Him. And so those three things I think are vital to staying in the presence of the Lord. But this last part of Psalm 42 says this. It says, why are you downcast, O my soul? Why are you so disquieted within me? Verse 5, it says, hope in God, for I shall yet praise Him for the help of His countenance. So after Psalmist says all these things, he declares his desire for the Lord. He declares his personal state of where he's at. He comes back around. He says, even though I'm feeling all of these things and going through all these different things, Lord, I'm still going to put my faith in you. I'm still going to put my trust in you. I'm still going to praise you. And a lot of times we, as humans, we kind of let our soul, our mind, will, and our emotions kind of navigate our lives a lot of times and our behaviors and how we interact with people instead of being led by the Spirit. And so we're a spiritual being that has a soul, our mind, will, and our emotions in a living body, in our physical body. And a lot of times we're led by our souls, which always is going to lead to the path of death, because we're living in a broken state, we're living in a broken world. But our spirit is alive, and when we're walking in the spirit, we've got to command our soul to come into alignment with the word of God. Mm-hmm. And that's exactly what he did here. He said, I am going to put my hope in God, for I will yet praise him. And so there's an acknowledgement of where I'm at, but I'm not going to stay there. I'm going to say, soul, you're going to come into alignment with the word of God, and I'm going to praise him regardless of how I feel, how my circumstances may appear to be. However, I'm going to put my faith in God, and I'm going to praise him regardless. And that's going to be one of the hardest things we've got to do. We're going to end up doing right now is choosing to praise when things are going bad, or when things are going wrong, and we don't feel like it, or I've got every reason not to praise the Lord. I'm going to choose to lift my voice. I'm going to choose praise right now. I think that's going to be the strength of our lives during the season, is choosing to praise God when things aren't going the right way. Yeah. I remember one of the toughest days of my life. I lost someone who was very close to me to suicide, and I was in a state of shock. I was just asking questions. I was sad. All of these very, very, very strong emotions, and I remember my wife and I, we were sitting on the front porch, and we chose to praise God in the middle of that situation. We said, Lord, we don't know why this happened. We don't know what's going on, Lord, but we choose to praise you regardless of how we feel. Lord, you're still on the throne. You're still in control. And in that moment, we had a choice to let our emotions override our spirit, but we chose to be led by the Spirit in that moment and say, Lord, we're going to trust you. We're going to praise you. And like with tears in our eyes, just barely even able to like talk in a way, we just said, Lord, we trust you. And we're just going to declare your goodness in this season. And that was probably the hardest thing we'd ever had to do, but we chose to praise God despite of it. And I'll tell you, throughout that season of life, going through grief and loss and pain, the Lord was closer to us than we had ever experienced him before. The word is true when it says that he's near to the brokenhearted. The Lord's so faithful. He's so kind. We felt the peace that really does surpass all understanding in that season. It's not because we didn't have a reason not to. We could have easily justified being angry at the Lord. Yeah. Does that make sense? Yeah. Not to say that like I wanted to or anything like that, but I could have easily said, you know what, God, this isn't fair. Why did this happen? But choosing to put our faith in God and choosing to believe and put faith in the word of God, that where it says he's true, he's faithful, he'll give us peace, he's close. All of those things, and standing on the word of God, we chose peace and joy by putting our faith and our praise in the Lord. And I want to leave us with this season. The joy of the Lord is our strength. When his strength is perfected in our weakness, there's a theme, but they say that the holiday season is one of the most lonely times for a lot of people, and the level of alcohol sales goes up, the level of suicides goes up, the level of loneliness and depression rises during this season. And let it not be so for the church. You know, that may be fine with the world, because the world doesn't have the hope that we have. You know, they're lost, they're hurting, they need Jesus, but we have him. And I'll encourage you in this season to let the joy of the Lord be your strength. Nehemiah chapter 8, verse 10 says this. And I think this is very proper for this season as we celebrate Christmas. It says, "Go and enjoy choice food and sweet drinks, and send some to those who have nothing prepared. This day is holy to our Lord. Do not grieve, for the joy of the Lord is your strength." And obviously, he's talking about a feast and a certain Jewish holiday, but I don't want to take it out of context and say that he's talking about Christmas here, but I want to receive that as we're celebrating with our families, as we're having this time off, that we can, in the midst of something that's very hectic. I remember this year I was supposed to cook a peach cobbler for one side of my family and a ham for the other side of my family, and I'm like, what's going on, you know? And I got to make sure everything's still warm and all that. But no matter what we're going through during this season, I'd encourage you just to lean into the joy of the Lord. Be filled with the Spirit. Walk authentic in your walk with the Lord. Be authentic with yourself. Be real with yourself. Walk in the Spirit. Praise the Lord. And let His joy be your strength in this season. Because that's what's going to sustain us. That's what's going to hold us up. And honestly, you're going to be a light to those around you. And there's going to, because not everybody coming over for Christmas is as strong as a believer as you are, you know. And I remind myself that, because my siblings don't know me as Pastor Ben. They know me as Ben, you know. They know that knucklehead. You know, my older sister knows the me that is supposed to pick me up at this party where the cops showed up in high school. You know, like that's the me that they know, and so it's very, very important even for me to be a light and a witness to my sisters. Even my younger sister, who's been through so much, she is just got engaged to someone and she's wanting to start a family and everything, and she's watching me to see how I interact with my wife, and she's watching me to see how I interact with my kids, to see if I'm going to be demonstrating the joy of the Lord to my family. And so I'm thinking about not even just for me and myself and my family, but how it's going to be perceived to others around me. And so during this season, I pray that you'd be so full of joy and so strengthened with joy that your family members want what you have during this season. And the people, your coworkers, the people that you interact with, even if you have to go shopping out there and crazy traffic and all that stuff, that the Lord would be your strength during this season. So let me pray for us. Lord, thank you for today. Thank you for your joy that does surpass all circumstances, Lord, that elevates above the storm, Lord Jesus. I thank you that your joy is our strength, Lord. I thank you that we can confidently stand on your promises and your word, Lord. And Lord, whatever we're going through, whatever we're facing, Lord, I just pray right now that we can take those things where the enemy has tried to use them for evil, and Lord, and you would just turn them around and use them for good. And Lord, we declare today that we choose to praise you. We choose to enter into your presence where there is a fullness of joy. Lord, whatever we're lacking today, it can be found in your presence, Lord. Whatever's missing, Lord, whatever needs to be healed, whatever needs a touch from you, Lord, it can be found in your presence, Lord. So help us do whatever we got to do to get into your presence, Lord. Lord, I thank you for your church today. I thank you for this house. I thank you for the faithfulness of your people, Lord. And I just ask you right now that you would be faithful back to them today, Lord Jesus. Lord, fill us up full of your joy, Lord, your peace, your righteousness, Lord. Lord, help us to put you first in everything we do this season. from the little things to the big things, Lord. Lord, we're so grateful for you, Lord. We're so honored to be in your presence today, Lord Jesus. And Lord, I just pray that you would bless us as we go. Bless the rest of our week, Lord God. Be with us. Hold us by your strong right hand, Lord God. Strengthen us with your joy, Lord God. Let it overflow onto the people around us today. In Jesus' name, amen.